Hello and welcome to another episode of ATPL Assist, the podcast for all things air transport pilot license. So if you're preparing for your exams, listen along for free content, tips and pose of questions to help you prepare for the CAA and EASA exams. In this episode, we'll be examining the cabin heating and cooling system, as well as the bootstrap system, it's sometimes called. We'll be delving into the mechanics and components of how it works, and indeed having a go at some questions to help consolidate our learning. So, cabin heating and cooling systems, let's begin. So the cabin heating and cooling system, first off, is sometimes called the bootstrap system. And this is the system that is examined in the EASA CAA questions. So before we begin, the whole purpose of the bootstrap system is to provide conditioned air to maintain pressure inside the aircraft, and obviously air at a suitable temperature. If we think an aircraft is operating anywhere between plus 45 degrees and in temperatures in the cruise as low as minus 60. So this wild variation in air temperature needs to be stabilized in order to ensure a stable and present internal cabin environment. So at this point, our bootstrap or air conditioning system comes in. The air originates from the aircraft engine compressor. That is where the air that you breathe inside the aircraft comes in via the aircraft bleed air from the compressor. This air is sometimes known as charge air, and that's an important term to be aware of because that may be what the question refers to the hot air coming in from the engine bleed system as charge air. Now, our charge air, we need to cool it down. Now, air cooling can be achieved in one of three or a combination of three ways. Firstly, we can pass the warm air over a cold surface, and that is known as a heat exchanger, whereby across that temperature differential, heat energy is transferred from air, charge air that is hot to a surface that is cold. Secondly, we can make air do work. So we can force it through or across a turbine, causing air or heat energy, air to turn the turbine, which then in turn removes the heat energy. And finally, we can expand the air. So if we reduce the static pressure, we also reduce the temperature. And the cabin heating and cooling system makes use of those three different mechanisms in order to cool and condition the bleed or charge air, so it's at a temperature suitable for us to be able to tolerate. So in terms of the system, we call this a bootstrap or turbo compressor system. And the bootstrap system essentially comprises a variety of different bits of equipment that help utilize those three ways of cooling air so it can function optimally. So the first thing that happens is our charge air flows through a flow control valve. And it's the flow control valve that ensures the correct mass of air is entering into this cooling system. Downstream from the flow valve, we have a bypass valve. Now, the bypass valve allows us to essentially bypass the primary heat exchanger and in the secondary heat exchanger so that we can mix hot charge air with the cold cabin air that's going to come from this system so that we can moderate its temperature. A little bit like you mix a tap in your bathroom. You have a cold feed and a hot feed. And if we need to mix the two, we can mix a bit of hot with the cold in order to make sure it's not too cold. So we're able to moderate the temperature. The bypass valves allow for that. Once the air flows into the first heat exchanger, it passes through a system that allows it to come into contact with ram air. Now, this is in direct contact. This is a heat exchanger, a bit like a radiator. So the hot bleed air is going to flow across a primary heat exchanger, which does have a limited cooling effect. The primary heat exchanger does cool the cabin air. Once it's flowed across the primary heat exchanger, we then have a second bypass valve. Now, this is linked to the first bypass valve, which is then in turn linked to the incoming hot bleed air. So at this point, a small amount of hot bleed air is mixed with the initial bleed air that's passed across the primary heat exchanger, where the two are then fed to the eyelet of a compressor. Now, the compressor is going to accelerate the air. It's going to increase the static pressure. So the compressor increases the static pressure, which also increases the temperature. And that's counterintuitive. We've cooled the air and then we speed it up and heat it up ever so slightly again. We're then going to feed this new pressurized air at a higher velocity into the secondary heat exchanger. Now, this secondary heat exchanger is going to cause a greater drop in temperature. So the secondary heat exchanger now causes a temperature drop, leading to cold air. The cold air, after exiting the secondary heat exchanger, now flows out and across a turbine. As it flows across the turbine, this further decreases the pressure. Remember, as the static pressure decreases, there is a temperature drop. So the temperature drops across the turbine, and that energy is used to spin the turbine, which in turn is connected to the compressor. So the compressor that is situated after the primary heat exchanger and prior to the secondary heat exchanger is fed by the turbine. Its mechanical rotational energy comes from the turbine, which is being turned by the cold air coming out of the secondary bypass. And that's why we call it a bootstrap system, because we're getting double use. It's double effective or efficient in terms of helping to cool the air. The turning of the turbine again causes a pressure drop, which in turn causes a temperature reduction as well. Finally, at this point, the air can actually have fell below the dew point. It can be close to freezing. So we have an ice screen and then a water separator located prior to a non-return valve, which exits into the cabin. And the water separator and ice screen, again, prevent water and ice from going through the non-return valve, which then allows this now cold air to head towards the cabin. Remember our bypass valves that are situated before the primary intake. We're now able to use a temperature control unit to mix amounts of charged hot bleed air with our now cold, close to freezing conditioned air in order to select a temperature that is optimum for our passengers. And that is what we know as the bootstrap system. This is a really important system as it ensures that we're able to moderate temperature and pressure inside the cabin. And this is controlled from a temperature control system on the aircraft. Couple of important terms that you need to be aware of, particularly for the CAA and EASA exams. The compressor and turbine unit are also known as the air cycle machine. The air cycle machine or cold air unit is the system comprising of the compressor that ensures that the air is able to be increased in pressure, increased in temperature between the primary and secondary heat exchanger, and then the turbine coming out from that, which powers the rotational energy fed into the compressor, is coming from the cold air, and that induces a both pressure and temperature drop. So that system is known as the cold air unit or the air cycle machine. So during the cruise phase of the flight, we've got high velocity ram air that's able to power the heat exchanger. In slow flight or on the ground, we have pack fans that are able to supply the cold air, and that enables us to make sure we are primary heat exchangers and secondary heat exchanger is able to function adequately. Now, in terms of recirculation, modern aircrafts are able to recirculate the cabin air back through the PAC system, which is the pressurization and cooling kit. So we're able to recirculate air, and that does a couple of things. Firstly, it ensures that we're able to reduce the workload on the pack. So by recirculating already cooler air, requires us to reduce the work on the pack itself. And also it means we can actually take less bleed air. Remember, the more air we bleed from the compressor of the engine, the less effective the aircraft engine is, because there's less air essentially being fed into the combustion chamber of the engine. So recirculating systems save on the workload on the pack, which is going to increase the work life, the working life of that particular piece of equipment. But more importantly for airline operators, it's going to save on fuel and reduce overall cost, which is an important factor for aircraft operators. In terms of the conditioning ducts then, so our aircraft is now being fed from the non-return valve into the cabin. We now need to distribute this, and that's done by aircraft ducting systems. The ducts can be made from stainless steel, and that tends to be ducts that are carrying air at high pressure or high temperature. Light alloys are used for intermediate pressures and temperatures, and then plastic or fiberglass for low pressure or low temperature air. And this ducting then allows us to direct the airflow to the relevant parts of the aircraft as it's required. So a couple of poser questions then in order to test your understanding. What does an aircraft PAC stand for? In the bootstrap system, the compressor and turbine assembly is often referred to as what? In the bootstrap system, what do the bypass valves allow for? The compressor is located where? Cooling air from the secondary heat exchanger is passed across a compressor, true or false? The turbine is located between the primary and secondary heat exchangers, true or false? Which primary heat exchanger reduces the air temperature by the most? The pressure of the air increases across the compressor, true or false? As the air passes across the secondary heat exchanger, what happens to its pressure and temperature? And finally, whereabouts is the water separator located in the aircraft bootstrap system? So there we go. We have delved into the cabin heating and cooling systems fitted to passenger aircraft. We've looked at the systems in place that allow for heat energy to be extracted from bleed charge air, and the important components such as the primary heat exchanger, the compressor, secondary heat exchanger, and the turbine. Don't forget, you can listen to more ATPL exam content on our podcast at atplassist.co.uk or over on Apple Podcasts. And I'll be back in another episode with more CAA and EASA ATPL exam content.